This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Since Football Friday.
Sanders fires. Got a man. Wester. He's five. He's touchdown, Colorado. 34 yards.
He threw that bubble screen. That is caught. Head to the house. Touchdown, Chris Durr. Wyoming. They needed one big play.
Just gets the play off.
And Marshall is in. Touchdown. Colorado State.
Spots it up. Meese straight through the middle and into the end zone. Touchdown, Northern Colorado. And just like that, it's 9-0.
A little heat on him. Loads up. Fires. Got it.
Big City Roadhouse presenting a Football Friday. Glad you guys could be with us here. We got a big one tonight. Colorado Buffaloes going up against Georgia Tech. Watch out for the quarterback, Haynes King. Like, that guy's pretty damn good. He's like 97 years old. He's been in college football for a very long time. But does the experience, how much does that help him? Tonight, Georgia Tech, 4.5, 4-point favorites. Texter from the 931. Colorado and Georgia Tech definitely has potential to be a close and great game. I think it will be. I think it's going to go to the wire, man. I wouldn't be shocked. Touchdown either way. Where am I going on the picks? That's coming up. Also, I want to announce, Michael, we've got the return, and I'm excited about this, but the return of the Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up later today, 2 o'clock, 2 to 4 o'clock. Tanner Schwint's going to be in here. The dude down the hall is going to be in here. And Mike freaking Danson with himself is going to be in here. And we're going to break it all down. We're going to recap a little bit about Wyoming, get their thoughts on the big matchups, you know, the storylines, where they're going. And I certainly suggest, dude, follow all these. Subscribe to all of our podcasts, man. Rocky Mountain College kickoff, that will air live today, and then it will re-air that Saturday morning. Again, there's going to be, obviously, the score of the Buffs game, so ignore that. But that's going to be how it goes, because college football continues to stretch out and have games all week. But also, Front Range Spare Change. Those guys are doing wonderful work. I think they went 3-0 in their picks. Now, they're picking a bunch of different stuff. I'm just going to go with the spreads. That's all I'm going. I'm not messing with the overs. I'm not messing with the unders. You can ask me, and I'll tell you what I think, but that's not official. Only official is the picks, and that's what I do. But Front Range Spare Change, they're doing everything. Little mix. They're throwing, you know, Hawaii in there, Nebraska in there. They're undefeated on the season. So am I, though. No big deal. 1-0. Can't win them all if you don't win the first one. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So for Wyoming fans, are you freaking out today? I mean, you got the win. It was ugly. It was supposed to be a close game. The spread, when I look at a spread and say 5.5, okay, they think this is going to be a touchdown game. So for Wyoming, are you freaking out? Caden Anderson was talking a little bit. Do we have that clip, Mike, of quarterback Caden Anderson? Talking about getting the win and just how much of a relief it is to start the season off this way. Let's hear from the Cowboys starting quarterback Caden Anderson.
Man, that was a great team win. Defense won that game, man. Goose egg on the board in football is very rare. So that was awesome to see. Chris Durr is a hell of a player. We're all going to see a lot of the Caden Anderson, Chris Durr connection this year, man. That's a special connection. Jackson Holman reeled in that catch, man. I'm just super pumped for the guys. Start off 1-0. And that was awesome. Great team win.
I'm just super pumped for that. Seemed like you went through a little bit of a lull yourself there for a bit, missing on some throws and stuff. What kind of was going through your head a little bit?
First game, I gotta make those throws. I'm still figuring it out. I'm still technically somewhat young, so I gotta figure it out. I gotta make those throws.
Pretty nice to have a guy like Durda.
Hey, that guy's really good.
Are there any plays, I guess now after the game, maybe you're thinking over your head that, oh, I saw this guy pop open, or that one that I missed, or anything like that at all?
To be honest, I don't remember any of the games. I couldn't tell you what just happened out there. I just know defense played a hell of a game.
What are your thoughts on Sam Scott's performance tonight?
Sam Scott won that game, too. That was a hell of a performance by Sam. He's really good. We got a really damn good running back, so I'm really happy for him.
Sam Scott with 29 carries and 132 yards. They're going to give that dude the rock. I mean, you're doing Harrison Whaley who? I mean, Harrison Whaley was a phenomenal running back. They didn't get him. Would they get him for four games last year? And one of those games against CSU, he did not even. It seemed like there was something going on the sidelines with Savelle and Whaley. And then, he said he was coming back. He wanted to keep his eligibility so he could come back. He assured he was coming back, and then he didn't come back. But then you get Sam Scott just go off. A lot of carries for that dude, though. That's a dangerous way to live with that many carries, dude. Caden Anderson, dude, he's a sophomore, and he played a few games last year, but he is a sophomore. He said it. He was like, I'm relatively young. I'm trying to figure this out. It will probably come for him. I mean, throughout the season, he didn't really start getting big-time reps until they went up against Utah State. He had a few throws here and there in their first five, six games, and then after it was like, okay, it's Evan Svoboda's not going to be the guy anymore. Let's go with Caden Anderson. And he had some decent games, man. Not a lot of, big-time throws and big-time numbers, but he wasn't turning it over a ton. He did against, when he was in against San Jose State, but when he played his first, start, he was 15 of 24 against Utah State. No touchdowns, but no interceptions. Then against New Mexico, he went off. He threw for 342 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. New Mexico's defense is bad, or they were bad last year. He was rough against CSU, and then the Boise State game was just a slugfest, so he wasn't great in that one either, but he didn't throw an interception, and that's critical in games like that. I wouldn't be pressing a panic button. In fact, I think that's what Cody Tucker's article is. Panic button? You're kidding, right? It's early. Yeah, if you can win ugly games like that early. Now, if this was week 7 and they're beating a bad team, one of the worst teams in the Mountain West, and they're beating a bad team 10-0, then maybe, okay, that's who you are. But week 1? I mean, we can all sit here and say CSU, even though it was Texas and CU those first couple games, but they got better. It was an easier schedule, but there's no question Colorado State was a different team at the end of the year as opposed to the team that they put on the field against Colorado even. I'm not saying they would have won, but that was a much better team. Wyoming, it looks like maybe that, and again, it's Akron. Akron looked awful offensively, dude. They couldn't do anything. I mean, Ben Finley threw for 139 yards. He was 16 of 38 for 139 yards. His QBR, Mike? 7.9. He had the pick, too, in the end zone. They didn't run well. So you can say, hey, Wyoming defense shut out what looks to be a bad offense. You can only do what you can in front of a team like that. And so far, this defense is perfect for Wyoming. So I wouldn't press any kind of major panic button on this Cowboys team. They should win next week. Then after that, it's going to get kind of rough. But they have some... they have some real guys that put up an impressive night. I do my whole show player of the week. I'm going to throw Chris Durr Jr. in there and Sam Scott so far. Of those two, I'm going to give it to Chris Durr Jr. So Sam Scott's probably out of the running because I'm sure we're going to have a candidate tonight from the Buffs. And then we'll maybe have a candidate from the UNC game. I don't know. CSU, maybe. Now, certainly if they win, it means somebody's showing out. That's a tough one to predict, man. 21.5 is a lot of points. Those are... I don't like to mess with 30-plus. And I think Air Force is like a 30-plus favorite in their game tonight. Yeah, let me see. Yeah, Air Force is a 30.5-point favorite over Bucknell. That's scary. Can Air Force beat a team by 31, even if it's Bucknell? Didn't they? Who did they play last year to start the season? Wasn't that who they started up against last year? I'll check. That's still a scary line. 21.5 is not necessarily a scary line. But, I mean, I could realistically see Washington getting right off the bat, scoring, 14 right off the bat. And then you're playing catch up the rest of the way. And how does Braden Fowler Nicolosi handle that? It's a big year for him. So, but then again, you keep it close in the first quarter. If it's maybe 7-3 in the first, and it's looking like a real possibility that not only can you cover. Oh, it was Merrimack that Air Force played. Thank you. They won 21-6. I think they were big favorites in that too.
They were supposed to play the Monitor, but the Monitor backed out at the last minute.
Translation?
That's a history joke. The okay. Monitor and the Merrimack, and Ironsides fought in the Civil War.
Okay, great job. Bored everybody to tears. That was as boring as the Wyoming game last night. In fact, that was much worse.
But you learned something.
I'll forget it. I don't know. Got picks coming up. In about a little over an hour. I'm not sure where we're headed on all these. Like, UNC and Chadron State. I hear that they have a pretty good quarterback. I like UNC's quarterback. I like Peter Castelli. There's an intensity that Ed Lamb brought to the podcast the other day. He was a different guy. That was a different coach who senses, like, okay, this is the year we need to start turning things around. Year one, you got an excuse. Didn't win a game. Not good, but you got an excuse. Year two, I think you wanted to be quite a bit ahead of schedule here. Not ahead of schedule, but on schedule. And I think 3 wins would have been on schedule. So they're behind schedule, folks. I think the pressure to me is on the Bears this weekend. We did that poll earlier in the week, the Lorado Whiskey Poll question of the day. Who needs to win more in week one? And I think it's UNC Bears. 100%. I think Wyoming really needed that win. Fortunately, they got it. Lorado Whiskey Poll question of the day today. Simple. These will get more. We'll get more thoughtful with these, but tonight's a big night. Who you got? Colorado or Georgia Tech? 69% are going with Georgia Tech tonight. Do they cover? Still a big question. 17 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk some Buffs. How can they win this game? Brian Howell is going to join us from Buff Zone coming up next, but we'll take a short break. It is a big city roadhouse. Football Friday, and thank goodness, man. Couldn't do any more Rockies. We'll be right back.
Just how good will the Broncos defense be in 2025?
So good! So good!
Let's find out together at NoCo's home for Broncos games and talk. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh. Oh. Okay, okay, okay. Ah!
All right, welcome back in. It is a big city Roadhouse Football Friday. Joining me now, Buffs insider from Buff Zone, Brian Howell. Big one tonight. This is the game of the week. I mean, of all the teams that we talk about and discuss, certainly this is the best one on the radar. And I think it's going to be a really good game. Hopefully, much better than the Wyoming game last. That was just rough. That made my eyes hurt. Brian, tell me tonight is going to be better than that Wyoming Akron game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be better than that. And I will say, if you would have told me 3 years ago that I would know the lyrics of that song you were playing, because I've heard it so often, I would have said, you're crazy. But yeah.
Is that still Coach Prime's theme song? Has he changed it up, or is that still the one?
I think it's still the one, because when they did the kickoff luncheon a couple weeks ago and the team came in, that's what they were playing. So I think that's the one.
I like it. All right, man. How do you think this game's going down? Georgia Tech is a 4-point favorite tonight in Boulder. Everything that I read on why they're picking Georgia Tech or giving them the 4 point or favoring them by four is more so they know what Georgia Tech is. Nobody really knows, save for you, Brian, nobody really knows what Colorado is at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of projections, right? Is
Brian, I think we're losing you, man. Let me, Michael, why don't you try, I don't know, unplug it, plug it back in. See if you can get it. We're losing Brian there. We don't want to miss out what he has to say about this game tonight, because this is my game of the week. This is the one I circled over all of them. You know, we, again, for us, we cover six. The college teams we talk about on this show, also the Denver Broncos. But of the five games that we have, this is the one I circled. And it's mainly because I do think, like, the four-point spread, go with the Buffs or go with Georgia Tech. I think either way you want to slice that, I think this game's going to come down to the wire. And it's going to tell us a little bit more about this Colorado team and how they do without their legends, guys they retired, jersey numbers they retired, and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. So how's that going to look? But the thing on the Georgia Tech side of things is they got a good quarterback. They got a really good running back in Jamal Haynes. And then that quarterback is Haynes King. And that was cool. I kind of forgot about that. But Haynes played for Texas A&M and got hurt. But they beat the Colorado Buffaloes under Carl Durrell. Having issues getting a hold of Brian? Darn it. Okay. He must be in a cave somewhere. But this game to me is... I know week one, it's easy to just say, don't panic, it's just week one, all that. I do think that seriously, this team that wins tonight goes on a different trajectory overall. And that's where I'll be fascinated to see who comes out on top. Still going back and forth with it. I don't have my picks finalized, Mike. I've got an idea of where I'm going, but I'm not 100% sure on everything. So we'll see. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So when we did get Brian, he's calling back. We got him. Mike is on the phone with him. They're talking. Lips are moving. His hands are working quickly. He's giving me the thumbs up, and we got Brian back. Brian, we lost you, brother. I'm sorry, my friend.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you hear me better?
I think so. I think we got you.
Yeah. I think you were asking me, you know, why people like Georgia Tech a little bit more.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it's because of the knowns, right? And, you know, both these teams are, they've got 30-year coaches, but I think CU's changing a lot in year three. And I think Georgia Tech is the same program. Brent Key's got the same, you know, offense, and, you know, he's got the same quarterback, 30-year starter quarterback. And so I think that's why there's a little bit more of that confidence in Georgia Tech.
Well, this Haynes King, I forgot about that, Brian, but he was with Texas A&M when they played Carl Durrell's Buffaloes. This guy's been in college football for a while. He's like 97 years old.
Yeah, I think he's only 95. But he's a six-year senior, and yeah, he made that start, that game at Empower Field back in 2021, and then got injured, I think, on the second series, and that was a season-ending injury for him. Wound up at Georgia Tech, and he's really thrived there. And he and Caden Salter are similar. They're kind of underrated quarterbacks and dual threat guys that are a little bit more dangerous than people give them credit for.
Yeah, I don't you expect both quarterbacks to be running around quite a bit tonight? That's why I think it's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, you mentioned Wyoming. This is not going to be 10-0 tonight. Both quarterbacks are very talented. I think they're the keys to both of their teams. And obviously the defenses have got to play well, and there's all these other factors. But it's the quarterback play to me. Which quarterback plays better?
Talk about the offensive line, too, because we've discussed it. It's a lot bigger, a bunch of new guys. You got Jordan Seaton, and I wouldn't be shocked if he just absolutely tears it up this year. I mean, he was solid last year, even though the line was bad. He was kind of a bright spot there. Talk to us about what you expect to see from a lot of these new starting faces.
Yeah, I think it's going to be much better. I mean, Xavier Hill was an first-team all-conference guard at Memphis last year. He comes in here. He's playing right next to Jordan Seaton. Darian McGill has got 4 years of experience at center, even though it was at, you know, group of five level. He's still got experience. Zy Chrysler was two-time honorable mention All-Big 12 at Illinois. And then you got Larry Johnson, who didn't play a lot at Tennessee, but he's a massive guy over at right tackle. So they're so much bigger. I think it's a determined group. I think they're going to it's going to look way different than it has the last 2 years, I think.
Coach Prime is talking about the overall the roster, and he's saying things like, hey, we feel like this is the best roster we've had. And you know, that's saying something. Because, again, so much of this was about – there were some good players for the Buffs, no question. You can't win nine games if it's just two dudes. But essentially three dudes, if you look at Travis Hunter playing both ways. Losing yeah. guys like that is so difficult. Coach Prime's pretty high on the overall look on this roster. Maybe there's not a lot of giant standouts, but they're deeper and they're just better from position A through Z.
Yeah, and I have a hard time thinking that they're going to be better than last year when you lose the Heisman Trophy winner in Shadur. But I see what he's saying, and that this offensive line, I think if it takes the dramatic step we think it could, then, yeah, you can be just as good on offense. And they're still loaded at receiver, even though it's a new crop of guys. And defensively, there's a lot more back than what people might think because you lose a bunch of starters. But, you know, Carter Stoutmeyer played a ton last year. And DJ McKinney is preseason all Big 12 at corner. You got some defensive linemen that are back. Arden Walker from Cherry Creek High School didn't start much last year, but he's a stud and had a really big year last year. And they brought in guys that were starters at other places. And, you know, Martavius French, that linebacker, was 10th in the country in tackles for loss last year. So they've got guys that have done it at other schools, just not in Colorado.
Don't you feel like this game, and I know it's game one, so whatever happens, we're all going to freak out. If CU wins or even rolls Georgia Tech, it's going to be like, hey, this is going to be a world beater. If they lose to Georgia Tech, you're going to have your panic button pressers. But I do get this sense that for the Buffs, if you beat, because I think Georgia Tech's a pretty good football team. They had a lot of injuries last year, including to their quarterback and their running back. If you beat Georgia Tech, Delaware at Houston, Wyoming, BYU's more interesting now or less interesting now with that quarterback situation. I think there's a realistic chance you could be looking at 6-0, maybe even 7-0 going, you know, going into before you go take on Iowa State on October 11th.
Yeah, I think there's a real chance. You know, if you win tonight, there's a real chance of having a really, really strong start and you know, setting this up for a really special year. If you lose it, I don't think that it really means they're going to have a bad season, especially how it looks. I mean, if they get blown out, I think there's going to be some concern. If they lose a close one, it's really disappointing, but you can probably say there's a lot of good things you can look at. So it depends on how it looks, but I think a victory sets them up for what could be a really good year.
Yeah, 100% agree. Brian, give me a couple names that we're not talking about as much that you think might make an impact, not just tonight, but throughout the regular season.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people know of some of the receivers like Omarion and Draylon Miller. Sincere Brown is a guy that I think could be a big-time player for the Buffs. He had over 1,000 yards receiving at Campbell last year, was formerly teammates with Jimmy Horn and Xavier Weaver at South Florida. So he could have a big year. Defensively, you know, there's some defensive linemen that are really going to shine, I think, this year. And, you know, Anquan Barnes is one that had a huge offseason. And, you know, Warren Sapp talked about the kid was 340 pounds in the spring. Sapp said, you better be under 315 or you're not playing for me. And he came into fall camp at 305 and was kind of dominating. And then another kid, redshirt freshman Brandon Davis Swain, was injured early in camp, and all of a sudden the last 2 weeks, he's running with the first team on defensive line and making plays. So kind of watch for number 91 tonight on that defensive line.
Number 91, I'm circling it right now. Was it kind of a shocker that it took as long as it did for Coach Prime to name Caden Salter as the starting quarterback?
No, I think that's just his way. I was actually more surprised that he did name him on Tuesday. I thought for sure he would just take it into Friday. We were all kind of joking before the presser started, like, well, what percent chances he name a starter? And we're all kind of 20, 10. One of the guys said 0.0. And then within the first 2 minutes, you know. I'm not surprised. It's just Coach Prime's way. I mean, there was no need to really name him. But if you watch well off throughout the month, it was pretty obvious it was Caden Salter. So it didn't surprise me that it was Caden.
So Coach, he kind of knew, or he knew it was going to be Salter. He was just waiting to make that announcement.
Yeah, and it was funny how he said it. He goes, I don't know why you guys are all, you know, wondering who it's going to be. And like, well, because every time you had the podium, you put both of them up there and said it's a real competition. That's why.
Well, yeah, that's everything I was reading and looking into what you guys have been putting out. You know, that was kind of my thought process was, All right. Yeah, maybe Julian Lulis can take over this job and you go there. But we also talked about Caden transferring here and probably doesn't transfer here if he doesn't have a pretty good idea that he's going to be the guy.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, he knew he had to compete for it, was never fazed about Julian Lulis being here, and super confident guy. I'm actually hearing a little bit. I mean, post a big feature story on Caden Salter. I talked to his mom for a little while yesterday and learned quite a bit about him. Interesting story for Caden Salter, and just a quiet, confident young man that I think could be in for a really big year.
Yeah, I'll be curious. You're releasing that later today. I got to check that out because I definitely want to learn more about this dude.
That'll be up before the game.
Okay, awesome. Great pregame reading for you. How's this one going down? Georgia Tech, a 4-point favorite. In your mind, Brian, do the Buffs? It's not really an upset. It almost feels like a pick'em game to me, honestly. How do you think this one plays out?
I think the Buffs win it. I think it's going to be a really close game. It's going to be a really good, entertaining football game. Again, not like the Wyoming game last night. I think it's going to be not super high scoring, but I'm going to go 27-24 Buffs. There's going to be some things they got to work on after this, but I think after this game, you'll say, wow, okay, the Buffs have got something here.
Well, we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to, like I said, this is the game of the week. This is the one we have circled. Just kind of cross-reference, cross-point, whatever, when we were debating the Heisman last year between Travis Hunter and Ashton Jeanty, boy, last night, I don't know if you caught that Boise State Broncos game. They looked okay in that first quarter, and then everything just went to hell in a handbasket, and they just looked awful without their stud running back. So you hope that's not the case for CU tonight.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I didn't watch the game, but you know, obviously seeing the score and everything, Boise was always pretty good. They've always been good, right?
Right.
Even before Ashton Jeanty. So I'm sure somebody looked it up. But I don't know the last time Boise got beat up quite like that, especially by South Florida. You know, that was kind of interesting. But I bet they're still better than that, but that was kind of alarming.
No, the first drive, and they ended up turning it over, but the first drive, I thought, and then they got two big defensive stops in a row. It didn't look like South Florida was going to do anything. And then I stopped watching. That's what happened. I was watching the first quarter, and then I went away, and it was a blowout. That's probably, you know, what it took.
Yeah, I wound up watching Delaware versus Delaware State and also Nebraska last night.
Yeah, Nebraska. What did you make of Nebraska pulling it out at the end? It looked a little dicey there for a moment, but they come up with the pick and in that thing. Is Nebraska going to be anything this year?
Yeah, I have a hard time saying that.
I don't feel it. I don't feel it.
I don't feel it. I mean, how many years have we been told Nebraska's back and then they're just not very good?
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll be fine. I think they're probably a 7-win team, something like that. I mean, that's what I think the Buffs are going to be. But I don't think Nebraska's going to be special. I mean, that was not a great throw by Cincinnati at the end. You know, I thought they should have been a little bit more conservative and gone into overtime and play for that, if nothing else. But, Nebraska, I mean, they had to fight for it.
Well, Brian. No, go ahead, man. Sorry.
I just said give them credit. I mean, they fought for it and they got it done, but I don't see them as like a 9 or 10 win team that's going to compete.
Do you know the details on, like, for Cincinnati, that would have been a home game, but they played at Arrowhead. I'm guessing there's a lot of money involved that they got to basically say we're not going to start our season off at home.
Yeah, I'm not sure the money details. That usually there's a few mil involved in that. They got to make it financially worth it to leave your stadium, right?
Plus, you know, Patrick Mahomes got to watch his twin in action, so in person, right. So it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, it is. Brian, my man, all right, so you like the Buffs tonight. Let's see what happens. Big one coming up tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Brian, we'll be looking out for that Caden Salter story and more pregame stuff from you at Buff Zone.
You bet. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Brian Howell, he's our Buffs insider. He'll be on with us every Friday. Hey, Mike, here's a question for you. Which team loses our interest in about 4 weeks? Because we cover them all. We talk about them all. But let's face it, there's teams that drop off and they suddenly, you know, we got Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock. Typically, the theme of that show and even my show is I'm giving more airtime to the teams that interest me. In week four, who's going to be less like the one that kind of fizzles away that we're not talking about as much? Is that Wyoming?
For the sake of the pun, Wyoming's offense was acrid against ACC run.
No.
I'm going to say Wyoming.
Over UNC?
I think UNC is going to win at least two games before the halfway point and two games after the halfway point.
Four wins would be pretty big for this program. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but, Mike, they haven't done that a whole lot. I mean, three or four is kind of been, 2-4 maybe has kind of been the average. What do you say, like 2.5 maybe over the years for the Bears? So getting to four would be pretty huge, I think. But I always like to look at that, too. Like, who's going to be, like, which team am I less interested in as the season rolls on?
I'm hoping it's not UNC because being here for 21 years, they've had, what, two, three winning seasons?
Yeah, and they won two games. I'm just going back to, like, 6 years ago. 2019, they won two games. In 2020, they didn't play in 2020, right? Because that was the COVID year, and that was Ed McCaffrey's first year, and they opted out to play any games. In 2021, Ed McCaffrey is the head coach. They won three games. In 2022, still Ed McCaffrey, they won three games. And then 23 was Ed Lamb's first year. They didn't win any games. And then last year they got the one. So, yeah, you're looking at – it was. Weber State was ranked at that point at the FCS
level.
Yeah,
they were like 21 or 22.
Well, look at these games. Like, Incarnate Word, they ended up losing 28-7. But it wasn't as bad as that score looked. They lost 38-17 to Colorado State. Again, not as bad as the score looked. Abilene Christian beat them on a game-winning field goal. I thought the Bears were going to get the dub. That was like a 50-plus yard field goal that they kicked. Stephen F. Austin was bad. Cal Poly was rough. Montana State was rough. But then, you know, you got the Weber State win. You were somewhat close to Montana. They just kind of, it was like death by 1,000 paper cuts in that game. It was 24-0, but it wasn't like 24 in the first quarter or anything like that. It was still a bad loss. But they scored 10 points in the third quarter. It was 14-0 at the half against Montana. So I think it's going to be a better year. They just got to stay healthy at that quarterback position. 12:41 the time. Mike, we continue on with our Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we got the picks. We're going to lay that out. I'm 1-0 to start the season, and we'll see how far we can keep this undefeated streak going. Guys, who do you like? Colorado or Georgia Tech? I need your help. We're going to craft the pick coming up later on, so let me know what you're thinking. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 42 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
Rolling on this Big City Roadhouse Football Friday.
Roadhouse.
Love it. I'm excited. I'm going to take you to lunch there after the show someday, Mike. You and me. How about that? A little bonding for us.
Yes. Let's do that.
Got steak, wings, tavern-style pizza.
I'm ordering that.
All of it?
Well, the pizza.
The pizza looks good. Are you a thinner crust kind of guy, or
I like my carbohydrates.
Yeah, I like a tavern style. It's like they were. So I was over there the other day looking at pictures of the food, and the chef Don is what I hear is amazing, like a big time chef. He was on these chef shows, 5-star restaurants, all that. So he's bringing like a big city taste, big city flavor to like a roadhouse comfort style, perfect for this area. And these are the people that that run Big City Burrito. And if you've never had a Big City Burrito from Big City Burrito, you are missing out. Delicious burritos. And there will be burritos on the menu.
I have never had a Big City Burrito.
Oh my gosh, man, you are missing out. They're in Fort Collins, but it's cool to see them branching out. So a lot of people have asked, like, are they going to actually have some of those burritos on there? Are you going to be able to do that? Yes, it'll be a portion of their menu, but I'm pumped. Cables, they're taking over the Cables location the last couple of days for Cables. So stop by and support them one last time and then get ready for Big City Roadhouse takeover. I believe next weekish. You know, there's no hard timeline on it yet, but just be on the lookout.
Now, I've never been to Cables, so did they have TV?
Oh, yeah, they have TVs everywhere. Okay, a little birdie tells me they're going to be adding more. It's going to be like the place to go to watch games.
Well, I was going to say, now that they're taking over, are they going to get rid of their cable and bring Dish?
Are you proud of that one?
Yes, I am.
You proud of that one? Man.
Roadhouse.
You've been rough today. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We're going to take a short break. We got to wrap up hour number two. Rocky Mountain College kickoff is coming up at 2 o'clock live. Last year we did it on Saturdays and we recorded that. We're going to be live at 2 o'clock. Tanner Schwint will be in studio if somebody can go wake him up. Dude down the hall is hanging around somewhere doing something. And then Mike Danson with himself is going to be in studio as well. It's a riot, dude. It's just four dudes talking football, having fun while they're doing it. It's going to be a blast. It's a whole show, and it is a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll put the finishing touches to this edition of our Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. We got the picks coming up. UNC's depth chart, I want to get into that a little bit. There's tension, for sure. For the Bears, no game at this point feels like it's, oh yeah, that's a win. It's a very tough spot. So there's a tension that if they can find a way to get this win, then I think you're going to have a lot more confidence. You see, kind of see the ball go through the hoop. But there's no doubt that these guys are on edge. And maybe that's a good thing. Hopefully they ball out. I'd be shocked to see what the turnout is. A lot of Colorado kids playing in this game tomorrow night. Or tomorrow afternoon. They don't have night games. 55 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.